It is Sardarabad Day, 100 years to the date. It is also Pentecost season, when the Spirit talks to us at that extra sense. This is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church, exploring that extra sense and our perception, whether it is emotional, psychological, physical, spiritual, and everything in between. This is episode number 520 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
They were all in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. What am I talking about? What am I describing? Sardarabad? Well, I might as well, because it's exactly 100 years since Sardarabad. Actually, if you were in church this past Sunday, you heard this being read. It comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2. It's the story of Pentecost. And it is the story of Sardarabad. It's about sound. It's about the call. That's what we're going to be celebrating today. Exactly 100 years since the Battle of Sardarabad. I want to welcome you all to this very special edition. Very special. It's an emotional day. Been filling, piping in all kinds of Armenian music. And we just got back from an opening of a Sardarabad monument here in the States. Believe it or not, a replica of the monument. We're going to be talking about Sardarabad, of course. I want to start off, actually, with a little personal note, because a dear friend of ours, Karekin Chuhasuzian, he's an intellectual, he's a human rights advocate. He's been on the forefront of the Armenian scene and Armenian the need for civil rights in Armenia for the last 30, 35 years since I've known him. And he's not new to this. And recently he was involved in a hunger strike. I'll put some information on the show notes. Do check it out. But he was involved in a hunger strike, and I'm happy to tell you that just a couple hours before I got in front of this microphone, we were communicating, getting the latest feeds, and he has ended his hunger strike. He's ended it after the Prime Minister, Nikol Pashinyan, visited with him. And he had been, I think it was either 29 or 30 days into the hunger strike. Karekin is one of those exceptional individuals who really walks the talk. He talks one thing, but he backs it up with his actions. And like I said, I've had the privilege of knowing him for the last 35 years when he visited us first in Cupertino back in the 80s. And since then, we have stayed in touch, had a chance to visit with him a couple years ago in Armenia. But just recently, he was staging a hunger strike. It's been a month without food, to bring attention to the need for complete reformation, a complete revolution. And his point being that he was a political prisoner, and he was let out, of course, after the Velvet Revolution, everything came out. We've been following it. You've been reading about it. You've been hearing about it. We've talked about it. Hey, did you see Anthony Bourdain's piece, Unknown Parts? He went to Armenia. Wow, that was exciting, wasn't it? Just to have him there and talking about so much of what's going on. It's unfolding right in front of our eyes. But our friend Karekin Chuhasuzian did the hunger strike for a specific reason, because just wanted to bring attention that just because the prime minister was elected, just because the former prime minister resigned, doesn't mean that everything is finished. But that is just one part of the revolution. But there are other branches of the government, namely the judicial branch of government, which is in need of reform. And he was just bringing attention that let's not forget that, you know, if we're going to reform, we need to reform all the way. So I'm just very happy that just a couple hours ago, Nikol Pashinyan, the prime minister of Armenia, met with Karakin. This was after, I think, yesterday or the day before, His Holiness Karakin II from Etchmiadzin visited with him, and they met and they had a little chance to talk. He's been meeting with many dignitaries, but today he was given the word that political prisoners would be released and that they would be working towards that reform. So we're very happy and proud of the efforts of Karakin Chukhalsazian, and our prayers are always with him as well as with all the people in Armenia. But today happens to be the 100th anniversary of Sardarabad, and I want to share with you some thoughts about Sardarabad, not so much the political angle of it, but the spiritual angle. The spiritual, and that's why I started off today's podcast with a reading from the Gospel. And of course, Book of Acts is part two of the Gospel of Luke. So rightly so, it is the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, we know that he told his disciples, go into the world, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach people what he had taught them. And remember, he gives us the assurance that he is with us till the close of the ages. He establishes church, and that church becomes the body of Christ to do the work of God. But that church, he says, is going to be reminded, is going to have a special agent that will be taking care of it, that will be moving it forward, the Holy Spirit. And he promises this at the Last Supper, and then it is fulfilled at the day of Pentecost, exactly 50 days after Easter. And that's, this last Sunday was Pentecost. In Armenian, the word is more descriptive. Hoke kalust. Hoke means spirit. Kalust means the coming of the Holy Spirit. So on Hoke kalust, we see the fulfillment of Christ's promise to deliver the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples. And as I read a minute ago, he says they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this wind, this violent wind, comes and it fills them. This is the Holy Spirit coming and descending on them. Wow. And so at this point, we see that the disciples, basically students, a fancy word for student, become apostles. Apostles is a unique word. Apostle is one who is sent. In Armenian, arakyal. Arakyal comes from the verb arakel. In Armenian, arakel means to send, okay? Somebody who is sent. It's the same as in Greek, you know, the word apostle comes from the Greek verb to send, apostolos. So the word is different than disciple. Disciple is one who learns, and apostle is one who is sent to teach, to pass along what has been learned, right? So the disciples become apostles at Pentecost. So we have this story, and you're saying, well, okay, and what did you say about Sardarabad? Well, just relax. Sardarabad's coming up. You're going to bear with me today, because I've got to tell you, I'm a little bit mellow because of the music we've been playing, because of where my head's at, the dream of Sardarabad, and I'm going to load up today's show notes with a few different articles. If you remember, those of you who were with us 10 years ago know that I wrote a very special and a dear article at that time. It was called Sardarabad at 90, and the need for us to celebrate Sardarabad. I'm going to put that up. It's a 10-year-old article, but very appropriate for the day. So please make sure you read that. But let me share with you first about Hokekalust, about Pentecost, and how we get from Pentecost to Sardarabad. Because once you make that jump, you understand that these scriptural stories, these beautiful, beautiful stories that come to us from the Bible, directly talk to us today, in our lives today. They have applications to our lives, as they did for the Armenians 100 years ago. I looked up, and do this quick, do a Google search. Do Easter 1918. When was Easter 1918? I bet you nobody else has done. You got to check in with me to get information like this, okay? Do you know when Easter was in 1918? It was on March 31st, exactly a day off from Easter this year, which was April 1st. Now, why does this matter? Well, if you think about it, it was the Easter season in which all of this brew. So Sardarabad, the event of Sardarabad, was immediately after Pentecost that year. And it was from Sardarabad that the following week we see that we have this Armenian Republic. And it is a game changer. It was the resurrection that the people needed. There are countless statements. You could look at historians, read it on the net. Like I said, there'll be some links you could check out today. But do your homework about Sardarabad. Countless historians say that if that Sardarabad had been lost, basically Armenia would have been, you know, the word Armenia would not have existed. There would be no country. And I'll even go a little step farther, because judging by the number of people that we have, I would say Armenia would probably be just another footnote in history. So this is a very big one. This is a very big one, especially when you consider it in the Christian tradition, in the Christian story of Jesus going up on a cross, being crucified on a Friday, and 3 days later resurrecting, and exactly 3 years after the crucifixion of the Armenian people, namely the genocide, 3 years later, we're finding ourselves at Pentecost in 1918, celebrating, or actually fighting, the war of Sardarabad, which became ultimately the celebration for a new life, for a resurrection. So it plays in just beautifully if you follow that out. A couple days ago, we were invited to the opening, and I was honored to be a participant in that opening with our prayers, of a Sardarabad statue. It is the only one in the world. It is in a town called Newhall, just a little north of Los Angeles. It's about a half an hour drive from Los Angeles, from Glendale area. We went up there for the opening. Beautiful statue. It's in a memorial park, and it gave us an opportunity, being 12 time zones away from the actual Sardarabad. And trust me, I really, really, can I say it one more time, really wanted to be in Sardarabad. I wanted to be in Armenia this year. It didn't work out. So it was almost like a runners-up. We had a chance to celebrate at this mini Sardarabad. And I have to tell you, it was very emotional, especially to hear the speech that was given on that day, the speech about what Sardarabad meant. And I hope I hope that I could convey an even bigger message right now by tying it in with the Pentecost. So on Pentecost, the scriptures tell us that the disciples were gathered together, and this rush of wind comes in. The Holy Spirit descends on them. And let's continue. This is chapter 2, verse 3 of Acts. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So each of them received the tongues of fire. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. To speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I know this is one of, sometimes there's some controversy. What does this tongues mean? Is this, I know there's, I think Pentecostals, going with the name, a denomination, a branch, sometimes considered a sect, will make the point that these tongues are actually things that can be only understood via the Holy Spirit. Namely, that if you don't have that Spirit, you don't understand it. But actually, if you read Scripture a little farther along, actually, just the next sentence, it says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken." So you've got foreigners in Jerusalem, and each of them are hearing the message in their own language, which tells you that this is not just some utterance that only people with the Holy Spirit can understand. It's not some inflections of the voice and the tongue, but these are actual languages that are being spoken. And it says, "Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?'" Again, one more time. It's a language that they're speaking. "Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia." By the way, you know, this is in verse 9. There are many biblical scholars who contend that the word Judea in this passage was in reference to the Armenians that were in Jerusalem, because it says people were visiting. And obviously, if you live in Judea, you're not visiting Judea, right? And many biblical scholars make the point. I don't have the references here, but I've read on occasion that they consider that Judea really referred to the Armenians. Anyway, long story short is that these people were hearing messages in their own languages. They were being spoken to. Now you say, how could this happen? How is this possible? Well, very easy. There's the idea of a miracle, right? God touching them. You say, well, you know, yeah, that's okay. It's kind of like magical. Well, do you believe in the ES of ESP? In other words, we talk about extrasensory perception. But do you believe that there are extra senses? That there are senses beyond the five basic senses of touch, of smell, of taste, of hearing, of seeing? Is there a sixth sense? Do you believe that there's a seventh sense? Yeah, there's a question mark. Some people say yes, some people say no. If it's not tangible, if we can't hear it, no, it doesn't exist. But then along comes a study from the University of Wisconsin, where they talk about acquired savant syndrome. What? Wait, back up. Acquired savant syndrome. Do you know what savant syndrome is? If you don't, again, like I said, you know, our show notes always get all these kind of fun things in them. So always make sure that you check out the show notes. But savant syndrome is pretty much known these days. I mean, you hear about it. There's been a lot written about it lately. I'd say in the last 20, 30 years. Savant syndrome basically is a condition in which someone with significant mental disabilities demonstrates certain abilities that are in far excess of the average, okay? So you will find somebody who is severely mentally disabled and can't do, for instance, basic calculations of what you ask them, what is five times three? And they may guess at maybe 12, maybe 13, maybe 17. It takes them a while. They can't figure that out. And yet you ask them to talk about a day in their life Like you reach back into 1993, October 3rd, and they will tell you what day of week it was. Is that a perpetual calendar in their head? They will tell you for every day that they were alive, the weather. I mean, do you remember what the weather was like 2 days ago? I mean, they can tell you. They can go back 20, 30, 40, 50 years to any specific day, and you can check that weather forecast against the archives in a city. They will tell you it was a cloudy day. Remarkable, right? People that can't put together a simple sentence and yet will be able to sit down at a keyboard and you could bring them a composition of one of the great ones, whether it's Chopin, Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, have them listen to it once and they will sit down and play this on a keyboard, on a piano. There are other manifestations. There are other ways that this is demonstrated. We've seen savants who have the ability to look at an object and then shape clay. You know, exactly proportionate, anatomically correct statues of animals, of people. It's beyond belief. Now think about it for a moment. You say, well, is this really possible? Well, first of all, it is because we're seeing it. Second of all, what have you heard since the time you were a young kid, right? People use only 10% of their brain. You've heard that, right? And then somebody like Einstein has used like 20%. They always throw this out, right? Was it possible that the brain has other areas? Of course it's possible. Is it possible that reality is beyond? Is there other reality beyond what we perceive? Of course it's possible. Of course it's possible. Anybody who says no is just really stifling their own creativity, their own imagination. So, is there extrasensory perception? Is there ES of the ESP? Is there extra senses? You know what? It's very possible that there is. Can we leave it at that? If you don't want to argue that there are, you don't feel comfortable saying that there are. Is it possible to say that there's a possibility for them? That's all I'm asking. Because what we're finding with acquired savant syndrome is because of large-scale trauma, and this is, like I said, the university in Wisconsin has done some studies. Large-scale trauma will cause an onset of a savant syndrome. So somebody, for instance, goes through some big trauma that affects their head, their brain, and all of a sudden starts speaking in a language that you never knew that they knew. Well, what does this sound like? Does this sound like Acts chapter 2? And what I did for you is basically brought it down to a very, I personally believe that trauma could happen. And with God, it's possible. But I've also given you an answer. For those of you who are looking for some scientific answer, don't look too far. It's right around us. It's in the studies that we find. And right there, the disciples become apostles with the tool of communications. And I want to leave it at that. They receive the tool of communications with the language. Because when we come back after the song, we're going to see how that tool is used and how it all fits in with everything we're talking about. We are broadcasting today on the 100th anniversary of Sardarabad. And I'm going to take a moment right now to play for you Sardarabad, of course, with duduks, daul, everything. True, authentic Sardarabad. Hey, if you know the words, please sing along. If you don't, then hum along. Here it is, Sardarabad. Thank you. I hope you took advantage and sang along. I gave you the instrumental version, the karaoke version. Did they have karaoke back then? Specifically so you could sing along. You could do that beautiful opera voice that you have really loud. You could take this into your shower and play it in the background as you're singing. Zangir Hohan Chen. I love this song. Sardaraba. This is by Winds of Passion. And I hope you enjoyed it and sang along to it. I will check your Alexa or your Siri app to make sure you did. No, I don't have that capability. Not yet, but we may get it someday. Anyway, Sardarabad. Check out today's show notes. I'll have some links to the words to Sardarabad. As I've shared with you many times, it's one of those beautiful songs that reminds us when there are no other ways of looking at things. You have to go to the magical, to the inspirational. You have to go to the point of insanity. And that's what we're talking about today. As we tie in Pentecost with Sardarabad, we start off with the story of Pentecost, where there's no way of communicating, and now they have received the gift of communication. We are broadcasting on the 100th anniversary of Sardarabad.
Մասիս ներ կարծես պալում, մեր թշնամին ենք տունալից, մահեր սպրում ահավեքում.
Yes, last Sunday we were at St. James, Los Angeles, and there we celebrated Pentecost, Tokekalust. And this passage was read about the Holy Spirit descending upon them. Gives us a chance to celebrate this biblical moment, but also at the same time to tie it in with what happened exactly 100 years ago. Because you see, we needed a means of communication. There's no internet in 1918. There is, far from it, everything was destroyed. You're talking about a country that is in shambles. A genocide is taking place, but the bulk of it has taken place. And now the Turks have moved forward. They're aggressive. They are coming in. They want to just finish off Armenia once and for all. They've come into eastern Armenia. They're at the border. They're looking at Yerevan. Yerevan's their next stop. They're going to move in. And there the mayor of Yerevan, Aram Manoogian, runs over to Etchmiadzin. You know, it's a gallop away. It's by car, it's about a half an hour drive. So figure, it's taken a while to get there. And he gets over there and he finds in Etchmiadzin. Now remember, Etchmiadzin, this is mid-genocide. There's not much happening as far as clergy goes. It has become a refugee center. Etchmiadzin is now tending to the needs of the people. And clergy-wise, it's very barren. But the Catholicos of the time, Kevork V, is there. And Aram Manoogian, the mayor, comes and he warns the Catholicos. And he says, you need to get out. You need to vacate Etchmiadzin. The Turks are right at the border. They're ready to come in. Now, in Etchmiadzin, there's a few of the members of the Brotherhood. Among them is Karekin Hovsepian. He's a bishop at this time. Later on, he became the Catholicos of Cilicia. Karekin Hovsepian, one of the strong leaders of the Armenian Church, along with Kevork V. They're in Etchmiadzin, and they're getting a warning to leave Etchmiadzin because the Turks are coming. And this Catholicos refuses. He says, where am I going to go? He refuses the order to vacate Etchmiadzin and instead gives an order himself that the bells of Etchmiadzin start ringing. He gives orders that in every small little village that there is throughout Armenia, that the church bells start ringing, that they call a secret vibration, a secret communication with the soul, with the heart of the Armenian people, that they call people to stand up, to stand up against the enemy, to make sure that as Christian Armenians, they put a strong foot down and say, you're not moving any step closer. You're not taking one more step closer. He refuses to leave. You know why? Because he's not a politician. He's a man of God. His inspiration is Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as Jesus Christ said it, the Catholicos stood as the good shepherd. But now imagine this. He gets on a horse. The Catholicos of all Armenians, on a horse, along with Bishop Kadakin, along with Archbishop Zavin, other clergy of the time. They go out on horseback. They go out to the front lines. They're with the people. And they are talking to the people, encouraging the people. And there, the Battle of Sardarabad takes place. Those bells became a language, became the means by which the message was getting across. The Pentecost, fresh in their minds. Because remember, we did the research, right? 1918, Easter, March 31st. That means the Pentecost. Hoke Kalust was on May 19th. So it's still fresh in their minds. It's that Sunday. They had just received the Holy Communion of that Sunday, the Pentecost Holy Communion. They had received the Holy Spirit. And now, guess what they're doing? They're rounding up the people. They're talking to the people that your freedom awaits, that we are not going to stay under the captivity of any government, of any other people. And now this becomes the battle cry for freedom. This becomes the battle cry to round up the people and say that enough is enough. We've seen a genocide, but we have been promised a resurrection. You see, in the sound of those bells was the hope of that resurrection. Every Sunday when we get to our churches during the Divine Liturgy, the priest approaches us with that Holy Eucharist and gives us the promise of resurrection. Sayagyang, Huis, Harutyun, hope, resurrection. Well, these are not just words for this generation that was there at Sardarabad. This is truth. As I've shared with you many times, if you believe that Christ is in that church, there is nothing more important on the outside. Well, this generation believed it. They believed that they were endowed by their Creator with those inalienable rights. And they knew that they had that strength within them. And so you've got Kevork the Catholicos on horseback, along with Karekin the bishop, along with Zavin the archbishop. And they're in the mix of the people. They're saying that we're going to stand up. And the bells of Etchmiadzin are calling the people, and people from all over the land, from all over the villages, from all over the city came, and they stood off the Turks. It was the last battle, and the Turks retreated. The Turks backed off, and what we have today, that small little landlocked country, that little small little republic called Armenia is there because of the Battle of Sardarabad. Should we go a little bit farther? Because of that battle of Sardarabad, we are here today. Do you want to go a little further? Because of those bells of Etchmiadzin that summoned all of us to get together, that summoned us to unity, that summoned us to the call of Christ. Because of those bells of Etchmiadzin, we are here today. Do you see why sometimes when I talk about our Armenian church, it is part and parcel of who we are? You can't separate it. It's those bells that called the people. It was the secret language that was spoken, just as was spoken on the day of Pentecost. And whether you're an Armenian, you're not an Armenian, there is a message here for all of us. The unspoken words of God calling us. The unspoken words of the Holy Spirit talking to us, not into our ears, but into our hearts. You see, the difficulties, the tragedies that we have, even the crucifixions that we have in our lives, we tend to believe that they are solvable by our own means. This is where we get into the five senses, right? Tangible means. And because we do this, we discount the power of the extra sense. We discount the power that is supernatural, that is beyond us. Now, you can call it extra sense, you can call it supernatural, you can call it God, if you want, you can even call it coincidence. But we know that it's happening. I don't believe in coincidence. When you allow for the possibility, then all bets are off, right? It can happen. Allow for that possibility. If you remember several years ago, I shared with you this idea that, you know, I was challenged by one of the students at the seminary who asked me, Father, what is a blessing? And he couldn't get the concept of what is a blessing. But it was good that he challenged me because it got me thinking about it. You know, what is a blessing? You know, we bless people. And it occurred to me, and I thought about this for a long time, meditated, prayed about it. And it's important. I've shared it with you in the past. A blessing is basically luck. It's luck. Blessing is luck without the element of chance. Okay, there's no chance involved in it. It's just luck without the chance. We usually, you know, you go and you throw a dice on a crap table in Vegas and you get the number that you want. And people will say, you are lucky. You took a chance and you made it. In fact, I'm reading this really good book right now. It's called The Gambler, about Kirk Kerkorian's life. And he talks about taking the risks. Well, that's it, right? You take the risk and there's a chance involved. And if you're lucky, you hit it. Now imagine a blessing is that same luckiness, that same luck without the chance. In other words, it always hits. It's always there. That's what the blessing is. And once you're open to that, it happens. And this is where the Armenians were. After 1915, after this devastating genocide, after this crucifixion, being up on the cross, there was a necessity for a resurrection. And the only way you can get a resurrection, by the way, is only to go through that crucifixion. We went through that crucifixion. Now, there was an opportunity to resurrect. 3 days for Jesus, 3 years for the Armenian people, the entire people, a resurrection at Sardarabad. The bells were proclaiming, come people, we're going to be standing here. This is going to be the final stand. This is it. And we stood there for an ultimate victory. Holding off the Turks, sending them back, saying, no way, you're not passing this line. And you go there today in this beautiful statue of Sardarabad. The two oxen, head to head. They're standing there. If I can, Susan took a very nice video of the opening of this new Sardarabad statue. And a gentleman named Arthur spoke. And if I can, because I'm not sure if we can get that video up because it is a Facebook video. But if we can, we'll put that on our show notes too. Watch it. It talks about the oxen, about the people coming together, about the farmers, the peasants, the people standing up, taking whatever they could to stand off the enemy and forbid them from coming any further. There is a very powerful and profound voice that is talking to each of us to come to our missions, to come to our battles, whatever they may be, in different forms. But that voice is an important one that we tune into because it talks to us at a different rate. Just as the people in Jerusalem did not understand what was going on, and in fact, they even pushed it a little farther and said, "Are these people drunk? We can't understand them." But the people who understood those languages, they understood. And they said, "We are understanding and we are hearing them in our own language." In the same way, God is talking to you. Sometimes you need to open the ears, not the ones on your head, but the one in your heart. You need to be able to be open to the vibrations that are coming around you. You need to stop saying no because I can't touch it, because I can't see it. Therefore, it doesn't exist. You know, there's a Zen question, a Buddhist question that asks, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? In other words, if there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound? Can you prove it? Well, no, you can't. But you know it makes a sound. Same way, you know that God is talking to you. You know that Spirit is talking to you. Just need to be open to it. You need to be open to that sound, to that vibration. And it is extrasensory. It is beyond the normal five senses. Pentecost was the day that the Holy Spirit spoke to the people. It challenged them to take that message to all corners of the world. The message of hope, the message of resurrection, the first gospel message, the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Armenia, this small little landlocked country, which proclaimed the Christian message, was not going to fold over. In the midst of all the enemies around them, it was not going to fold. It becomes now an example for all of us. You need to take that example and realize you can apply that to your life. The life that says that we have difficulties in our lives. We have even crucifixions. But there is a resurrection awaiting. The resurrection is there when we tune in to the possibility that we will stand up. We will do what we need to do. Very important that I put that emphasis on we, right? I'm not saying the supernatural power comes in there and then obliterates people. No, I'm saying that we have the ability. We just need to wake up. We need to be in tune with what we need to do. And this is the missions that we have, the small little purpose statements that we write for ourselves, the to-do list that we make for ourselves are all part of it. But it is the Spirit that talks to us in a larger form to apply ourselves for love, justice, and ultimately for peace. I'm going to take a break right now. When I come back, I have a lot of announcements to make, so do stick with me for a couple minutes right now. Here is Susie to make her announcements.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for all your well wishes, for your prayers for this ministry and your support of this ministry. I want to do a small little shout out to a lady named Nellie on the East Coast. She wrote to me a very sweet letter in Armenian, a paraphrase really quickly, a summary of it. She was very, very impressed with Father Krikor's interview last week, and she asked if this is typical of the caliber of clergymen that our seminaries are producing. And I went back to listen to the interview to find out if he did make reference to the seminary. Actually, he is a product of the Jerusalem Seminary, and then, as he mentioned, he went to a seminary here in the States. So I can't talk for all of them, but there are some great, great people coming out that are filled with the Spirit. Father Krikor, we are lucky to have someone like him, as you rightly noticed in the interview. And I do want to add to that, because of, as a consequence of the interview and your reaction, we've decided to put together a very special pilgrimage to his church in the desert, what we call the Jewel of the Desert. This will be July 12th. It's a Thursday. And if you're inclined to go with us, we will meet in Los Angeles and drive there together. It's a two-hour drive from Los Angeles to the St. Gotthard Church, and we will meet with Father Krikor, his parish, and spend a day together in prayer, in meditation, and, of course, in fellowship. So mark that on your calendar if you're interested in going. Drop me a line, feedback@epostle.net. And as I've always said, you know, these are the kind of things you got to be part of. And because after it's done, you always come to me and you say, wow, how come you're not doing it more often? Or when are you going to do the next one? No, I don't know when we're going to do the next one. We're doing one on July 12th. Okay? It's a Thursday. Be warned, I've told you. But I'm really glad you liked his interview, and certainly a wonderful man, and we're looking forward to working closer with him in the future. Let's see, coming up on our calendar this Sunday, I will be at the Holy Apostles Armenian Church, Sirpots Arakelots, in Tahunga, California. And we invite you up there. And if you make it up there, please make sure to come and say hello afterwards. The Divine Liturgy begins at 11 o'clock, I am told. I guess it's getting later and later, but looking forward to celebrating. And this is a dear friend of ours, Father Avedisa Bovian, who has personally custom designed that church, including the altar space, a unique design. Reminds me of a lot of the Artsakhian churches. Anyway, looking forward to celebrating with our dear friends up in Tahunga. That's about it for our show today. I want to invite you to the show notes. You'll find links to everything we talked about, and also to get involved with us or communicate with us at all the media outlets. And yes, social media outlets. Thank you. Yeah, Ken's pointing to his pointing to this big mixer and saying, this is what media is. No, you know that's not what I mean. I mean social media, okay? Whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're all over the place. In Issues, us personally, do look us up. And of course, at the mothership, inissues.org. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed it. It is Sardarabad. Go out there and celebrate. Celebrate one of the greatest ones. Do read my story about celebrating Sardarabad again on our show next today. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.